You're tuning in to the Our Church Podcast. Have you ever felt like God has forgotten about you? This week, Pastor Mark teaches through Mark chapter 5 and reminds us not to lose hope. Even when there's a delay, God can still show up for us.
What God has put on my heart tonight is, you ever feel like God's forgotten you? Or maybe he's not as concerned about what you're concerned about. God's put on my heart to talk to us tonight about, God has not forgotten you. And so let's look at this scripture, Mark chapter 5, verse 21 through 43, and see what the Holy Spirit says to us tonight. Lady Hannah.
When Jesus had crossed over again, in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and so he stayed by the seashore. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up and on seeing him fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she would get well and live." And he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. A woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, "If I just touch his garments, I will get well." Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." While he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official saying, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe." And he allowed no one to accompany him, except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the synagogue official, and he saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. And entering in, he said to them, "Why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep." They began laughing at him, but putting them all out, he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child was. Taking the child by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha," was there more of that word? "Come," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old, and immediately they were completely astounded. And he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this, and he said that something should be given her to eat.
Familiar passage to a lot of us, and I kind of want to get in the story and walk through this and see who you can identify with in this story. And as you get into the story, let's start off with, you know, Jairus goes to Jesus because his daughter is dying, right? And he goes to Jesus and says, "My daughter is dying," and Jesus says, I'll go with him, lets him know he'll come with him to heal his daughter. And while on the way, there's the woman that we would always say, the woman with the issue of blood. Now, let's get into the story. This woman had been bleeding for 12 years. And yikes was my spiritual response when I read that. And like to understand that, like a 12-year cycle. Understand, yeah, see, women get it. Like a 12-year cycle. I don't know what the... See, I ask questions when I read the Bible. Like, what was the feminine hygiene products of the hour for 12 years? What did her clothes look like? What did they smell like? See, now, you understand what it means? See, friends, like, it's nice to read, oh, issue of blood for 12 years. You got to get in the story. A 12-year cycle. And guys be like, man, that's rough. Because they don't really get it fully. Let me break it down, guys, so you can understand. What if she was married? That means she was off limits for 12 years. Now guys are like ripping their clothes in sackcloth and ashes. Lord, help her. But 12 years. And for 12 years, she was considered untouchable. She was considered unclean under Levitical law. Like, I wonder, was that something obvious that she was unclean? I just ask questions when I kind of see that. And she knows she's not allowed to touch anybody, because the way things were, if she touched anybody, they became unclean. But she believes that if I can only touch the robe of Jesus, she didn't say not that I can be healed. She said, I will be healed. Jesus was her only hope, right? She had tried doctors, but how many of y'all know doctors only practice medicine? God's got this healing thing down pat. And so doctors had failed her. Now it was her last hope was Jesus. So she comes up behind Jesus, because the scripture says Jesus got this crowd of people around him. She comes up behind Jesus and she touches his robe, and it says immediately the bleeding stopped. And the scripture says Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. Come on, how awesome is Jesus? You touched the man's clothes and power was in his clothing. Yeah, man, y'all just, I get pumped when I read about the dude's clothes can heal you. Realized, he said power went out. He said, who touched me? Now, again, I say get in the story. If you Jesus and you his boys and all these people around you, Jesus, like, what do you say, Jesus? It's who touched you? All these people around. And you're going to ask, who touched you? You know, you almost be like borderline offended that he asked you the question. All these people around, you're going to ask, who touched you? And Jesus just kind of ignored his boys because he's looking for the one who touched you. And now she's afraid. Because think about this. Not only did she touch Jesus, if she got through to him through a crowd, that means she touched some other folk and made them unclean. But she steps up to the plate because Jesus healed. When God has done something for you, never be afraid to say it. Never be afraid, no matter how big or small you think it. He's too big to do anything small. Whatever he's done, never be afraid to say what God has done for you. When she stood up before him, he says, daughter, your faith has made you whole, right? Now, notice, Jesus didn't pray over her. She touched him. Man, what if you got the mindset that all I got to do is get to him? See, think about the God, all I got to do is get to Jesus. You ever had one of them rough days? And you're like, man, I just got to touch him. I just got to get to him. What if we had that mindset? Like, man, all I got to do is get to Jesus. Somebody acting a fool, you just got to get to Jesus. You ain't got to act a fool with them. You just got to get to Jesus. I just got to touch him. If I get near Jesus, if I get connected with Jesus, man, no matter what's going on, don't let go of your Jesus. All you have to do is touch him, and you can be made whole. Praise God for a God who only needs us to touch him. And he heals us. Ain't that awesome? Now, do you see what happens when a lot of times, this story started off about Jairus. And then we get sidetracked by the woman with the issue of blood. Come on, be Jairus in the story. You ever feel like God's got an urgency to take care of somebody else's needs more than yours? If you're Jairus in the story, come on, my daughter is dying. And now Jesus is stopping to take care of somebody else's needs. Can anybody identify? Maybe you know somebody and you've gone through that. Jesus is taking care of somebody else's concern more than yours. Now, he of course stops. You're not going to rush Jesus. But I know on the inside, like, come on, Jesus. My daughter has died. Come on. I know. Who touched you? Come on, man. Let's keep it moving. So you got to get in the story, man. Like, if this was your daughter dying and Jesus stops and he's now looking for who touched him and now he's taking care of somebody else. But again, you don't dare say nothing because it's time to be spiritual. Oh, yeah, who touched you, Lord? Let's find her. Praise you. Right? You know? And you see he heals the woman. You're like, oh, that's awesome. But you're like, what about my daughter? So you got to get in the story. What about my daughter? She's dying. And think about this now. Not only did Jesus heal her, he's now talking to her. He's having a conversation with her. And you know, you're like, man, I know you're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but maybe you didn't hear me when I said my daughter is dying. And you're like, come on. I don't want to rush you, but I need some help. And while he's taking, and while he's talking to this woman, somebody comes up and says, your daughter is now dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore. Like, man, doesn't that sound like it's a wrap? You ever see, felt that? Like, man, while Jesus, you've been asking him to take care of your situation, you get to see him take care of somebody else's situation. You know? And it's like, man, that's rough. But Jesus heard him talking and he said, just believe, don't worry. Just believe. But man, you ever have that? Can't that be a little frustrating if we just get honest sometimes? It's frustrating while you're waiting for God to come through for you. And then you often get some report that says, what you were hoping he would do for you was done, it's past, it ain't going to happen. Now, you ain't get it from Jesus, but you got the report. And then you just say, well, I got to be spiritual now. So my lot in life now was just to be a cheerleader, right? Hooray, glad you got healed. Right? Oh, you got the job you always wanted. Praise God, that's awesome. Right? Oh, all your kids are saved, man. That's wonderful. Oh, speaking in tongues too. Man, God loves you. Right? And you don't want to seem selfish to say, what about me? But that's how you feel. So you might as well talk to them about it. But that's an easy place to get to. But I like what Jesus said when he got to the house. He said, your daughter is not dead, just sleeping. Like, why all this commotion? Why y'all all amped up? Jairus, what you asked for is not dead. Just sleeping. That's for somebody in the room. Because sometimes we buried that thing, and Jesus didn't speak it dead. You spoke it dead. Circumstances spoke it dead. Everything else around you spoke it dead, but he never said it's dead. He says, not dead. Just sleeping. Sometimes we confuse delayed with death. Just because delayed don't mean it's dead. But we confuse delayed with dead. And I want to encourage you, don't be offended at the appearance of neglect. Wait is not no. Wait is not no. Let me just show you this. Go to John chapter 2, verse 1 through 5.
On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it."
Just leave that up there for a while. Now get in the story, right? Jesus' mom comes at the wedding. Son, they ran out of wine. Woman, if you're the savior, you can get away with it. What does that have to do with me? But look at what he said. My time has not yet come. See, sometimes we just gotta get on his clock. My time. Jesus is gonna move on his time. My time has not yet come. Now, here's what I love when you get in the story. Notice Mary could have tripped. Now, come on, Mary could have started tripping. And, you know, she could have been like, "Boy, I carried you. Now, you're going to go out here and die for all these people who don't even care about you? You know, I almost got stoned for you, right? You almost cost me a good man, too." I mean, Mary could have straight up tripped, and all I'm asking for is a little something, something for the people. And you give me, "Woman, my time has not come." See, you got to get in the story. Mary got human feelings like everybody else, but Mary didn't do that. She just said, "Whatever he says to do, do it." So what do you do when God doesn't seem like God has come through for you, or what you've asked for is delayed? Whatever he says to do, you do it. And you trust him, and you trust his track record. We know that God is good, and we say all the time. And then we'll say all the time, "God is good." So you ain't the exception to the rule. He's still being good. Whatever he's asking you to do, that's all you got to do. Whatever he tells you to do, you do it. And while you wait on the Lord, guard your heart against envy and jealousy. Y'all know what those words are, right? When you see somebody else with something that you want, right? You got to guard your heart against envy and jealousy. Now, come on. Now, get in the story. If you Jairus, the only reason Jesus is even on this road walking is because of you. And now somebody else smooching off your blessing. The only reason Jesus in the location is because you went and got him. And now they getting, come on, y'all ever seen that? Some people don't even want, and they get. And you've been wanting it, and you ain't got it. I remember, man, when me and Shannon asked for a pool like a long time ago, and then we weren't harping on, I don't even swim. And then God gave us a pool, and some people were upset. "You got a pool? You don't even swim." God's good. God want me to help. You can use it. But sometimes it seems like people getting what you've been waiting for, longing for, and you've been like, "How?" Maybe if you know somebody like that, then just say amen. You ain't got to be you. But you guys, you got to guard yourself against jealousy and envy while you wait on the Lord. You got to focus on the truth. And I don't know if we got that on the screens or not. Focus on the truth. And the truth is, God does not love you any less that he loves anybody else. No matter what your lying mind tells you, God does not love you any less than anyone else. A matter of fact, if you take an inventory, I guarantee you, you have some earthly things some other people don't. But the flesh and the enemy is good at always getting us to look at what we don't have rather than what we do have. Come on, get honest. Most people, when they look in the mirror, they're looking for what's wrong. Man, what if you looked in the mirror and just started focusing on all that's right? Instead of, that one thing's wrong, and that one thing that you think is wrong would wreck your day. But you got a lot of stuff that other people don't have. But sometimes we don't appreciate it when we see. You know, that's actually one of the goals of the person who, made Facebook, is to kind of getting people longing for other people's world. That's why when you see what somebody else is eating, you be like, "Man, I wish I had a steak." Oh, man, I wish I could go on vacation like them, man. All is, and they want you to think that all is well with that person. That's why they even got rid of the dislike button. Because they want the persona that all is well with somebody else's life, and you always long for that life. That's their sales pitch. Check out, do your research. They're selling you a life so you cannot be content with yours and keep going after other stuff. And so, again, we got to hold on to that, and you got to hold on to this truth. As long as Jesus is with me, what I've asked for is still a real possibility. Do you believe that? As long as Jesus is with me and I'm with him, whatever I have asked for is a very real possibility. Stop burying it. We not stop saying it's dead, it's done. No, it's still a real possibility. I believe God to a yes, he got to show me a no. He got to show it to me convincingly. And if he's given you a word, then you know he's going to fulfill it. You know he's going to fulfill it. I remember, man, I was praying for my dad to be saved. I remember God gave me a word that my dad would be saved. And I look around, and I'm seeing people getting saved all over the place. Go to churches, everybody gets saved. This person got saved. That person getting saved. I'm like, all right, God, my dad's got to be coming up. Nope. Nope. 10 years later. But I knew my dad was not going to die before he got saved because God gave me a word. And if God has given you a promise, if God has given you a word, then you got to know he's going to fulfill that word no matter what it looks like. He told Jairus, I said I'm going to go with you and take care of your daughter. She's dead. Don't bother him no more. Just believe. Just believe in who I am. What you going to get me for? I got this. What'd you go to him for in the first place? Then trust that he's God. He still has it. He has not forgotten you. He is not like, man, and Quasi asked me something a while ago. What was it? See, that's me. I'm the ultimate waffle box. You know, I'm the one that type a message and forget to hit send. That's not Jesus. He don't forget. You know what I'm saying? He does not forget. He's not forgotten you. What is he preparing you for something? What if what you asked for, you're not ready for? And he's trying to prepare you. I used to tell y'all this before, and I'll remind you again. Sometimes you'll be like, Jesus, I want to go through that door. And he'll be like, okay, go that way. And I want you to go around the block. And I want you to come through this way. And I want you to come all the way up here. And then I want you to go through there. And you're like, that don't make no sense because the door's right here. But Jesus is trying to tell you the things you're going through when you go this way are going to prepare you for what's on the other side of that door so that you'll be sustained when you get there. Because some people get there and don't have no staying power and look foolish. And so sometimes you thought you were ready for something. You weren't ready. He know you weren't ready, and he's still preparing you so that when you get there, you'll be sustained. How did David learn how to be a king? When he was herding those sheep, and when he was on the run. And what? He was a ruler over 300 bandits. And that's how he learned to govern, because he kept 300 people from killing other folk at random. He learned while he was on the run. He learned through his trials. He learned through his tribulations. Y'all, God still teach us the same way. Sometimes it's delays. Like, oh, because he says, I know what you need. Hold up. Let me get you ready. Let me prepare you for it. We don't like process. I hate it. I'm the person to go in the house and they say, now don't try to fill it up all at one time. Let's fill it up. And guess what? When that bill come in, they're like, why didn't we slow down? Because some of us don't like process. We think delayed mean death. Or wait means no. Man, but he called like he says, he will keep you in perfect peace, those who keep their mind on him. He said, let patience have its perfect work so that you can be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so think about this. Guard your heart. Know that what he can do is a real possibility. And when you see other people get blessed with what you want, use it as encouragement, not discouragement. God, because he don't love them any more than you. God, if you did it for them, I know you're going to do it for me. Join in the celebration. You know, the real celebration, not the fake, oh, I'm glad you ain't bleeding no more. It's real nice. It's real nice. Yeah. But be happy. Celebrate with them, because that means God's, man, that means God is going to no respect to a person. And he don't love anybody any more or any less than somebody else. And so we got to start speaking the truth. Come on up, worship team. What's the truth? As long as God's with me, my request is not dead. Might be just sleeping. And all I'm waiting for is Jesus to come in and say, wake up. All I'm waiting for is Jesus to come in and say, wake up. Man, you know, this year, remember last year we said this year was going to be the year of fruitfulness. And I've seen it for a lot of people in a lot of areas. I know some people are like, that's good for them. I don't know if that was the word, Pastor, because I haven't seen anything yet. It's only December what, 2nd, 3rd? God ain't short on time. He's not dead. Stop believing again. Somebody in here put a dream to bed that he never said put to bed. Dust it off. God, I still believe you. It's still a possibility. You haven't shown me a no yet. He hasn't forgotten you. He's not forgotten you. He sees you. He cares. He sees you. And he cares. He said you can cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Hey, I went through that, y'all, even as we're looking for the church. I mean, you know, I got tired of asking people for church shares. Because every time somebody say, I say, hey, can we do a church share? And they would say, oh, I'm all for it. Let me talk to my board. And after they talked to the board, I know they either didn't hear back or got to know. And so my member, Pastor Walt, actually drove me by this church. He said, you should go and talk to them about a church share. And I was like, I ain't asking nobody. I'm tired of getting no's. But then I asked the Lord on Tuesday, I said, God, I'm ready for movement. And all of a sudden, when the guy said, let me talk to the board, the person on the board, the head of the board, is somebody I ministered 2 years ago. And he sat there and said, come on in. See, it's not dead, y'all. It's just sometimes delayed, and it doesn't look like what you always want it to look like. It's not always neatly packaged, but God has not forgotten your request. Don't you forget your request. So I encourage us tonight, we're going to sing, He's Able. He's able. But I want you to know, he's not just able. He's willing. Let me say that again. He's not just able. He is willing. Not just for us. He's willing for you. You're not too old. It's not time to move on. You didn't mishear him. It's not dead. He ain't gonna force your hand. He's not upset with you. Hey, if you got a new dream, that's fine. Get a new dream, move on with that dream. But don't wash away the other one because circumstances said it's dead. And everything else said it's dead, and God didn't. We serve a God that says stuff like this: if two or three of you get together and ask for anything in line with my name, in line with my will, I'll do it. Ask for anything in my name, and I'll do it. Ask what you will. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose will be loose in heaven. That's the God we serve. And I know we feel like I just got to be a good Christian, and I'm just going to serve my lot in life, and I'll cheer for everybody else, and I'll be content. And that's fine. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But there's another piece of the scripture you're not even tapping into. It's like if you go to the house and you've been hanging in the foyer. And then somebody else, and then we get upset when somebody else walks in the house like, man, you know you got 3 bathrooms in here? Say what? And I've been hanging in the foyer the whole time. And then we get upset with them that they explored the house. But you were just content in the foyer. Hey, praise the Lord, you're content in the foyer. But not if you let go of something because you think God's forgotten you or because God won't do it. That's not who he is. So I encourage you tonight, if there's something you've laid down that you hadn't heard God speak on, hey, you heard God speak on it, then that's fine. Like when God called me to the football office years ago and said, you're not coming back to coaching football, and I cried like a baby. Felt like I was breaking up with a woman. What do you mean I'm not coming back? He says, I'm calling you to coach a bigger game. I want you to coach the game of life. And I said, yeah, Lord, I can do that. So he shut that door and called me to another door. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the doors that you shut. You didn't hear from God, or life shut them, or circumstances. Oh, you can't do that now. You're too old, too this, too that, too much of this. Now you're mature. They should have did that when you were younger. Let me help y'all with something. You're eternal, so you ain't old. You're eternal, so you ain't too old for anything. Got it? You're eternal, so you're not too old. And read about some of them dudes in the Bible. Caleb, dude was over 100 something. I ain't too old. God, give me what's mine so I can go and represent God the last of my days and go out strong. It's not dead, y'all. And I don't know who it's for. It's for all of us. It's not dead. Just sleeping. But you wake up and you praise him like he's already done it.
To stay connected with our church, you can like us on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter using the handle @TryOurChurch. Or you could send us an email to info@tryourchurch.com. If you'd like to financially partner with our church in carrying out the Great Commission, you can do so through text to give. Just send a text message to 443-201-7266 and include your dollar amount. Thanks for tuning in.